Well done.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to move on. Spring operation and parks. Take a look at our upcoming events and park reservations. It is that time of year. Jeff Van Meteren, our Parks and Recreations Director, is with us in person. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, and Secretary Roebling. You going to pull that up, Chris? Yeah, I thought it be... So Jeff Van Meteren, Parks and Recreation Director. Thought it'd be good for us to just kind of preview what's all in front of our park staff this time of year. This is an extremely busy time of year for us, so I'm going to use a little slideshow here to indicate that. Okay, I'm going to run through a lot of numbers here and just kind of update you on what we're all about. So one of the first things our park staff does every spring is get the boat docks and ramps ready to go. That's one of the first tasks on deck. So if you didn't know it, we have over 400 boat ramps in the state. A lot of that responsibility falls on the park staff. Along with the boat ramps comes the boat docks. 359 of those. Some ramps don't have docks, they're just that kind of smaller ramps and that kind of stuff. And we have over 42 grinder units in our state and countless numbers of primitive fish cleaning tables that don't have grinders, but the grinders are the big deal. Can't open those up until the frost is passed. So another aspect of the job is the infrastructure, getting the water turned on. And no doubt every year we have a water leak in a number of parks. Lines break, lines freeze, that kind of stuff. But we also have to do a lot of repairs to our electrical system over the course of the year. We have a lot of large units that use our parks anymore, and they really wear out our breaker systems and tax that kind of stuff. So and then sewer too is an issue that our staff has to work with from time to time. We have over 126 comfort stations in the park system. A comfort station is our modern bathrooms with showers. That's what we refer to there. We also have numerous vault toilets, but these are big buildings, lots of plumbing infrastructure in those, and staff is getting those ready right now. As an example, Custer State Park sent me a text yesterday during our meeting, and they, I think, had opened up all of their comfort stations. We try to open them up as the campers start to come. And then while all this is going on, we also are trying to rapidly finish up all of our projects that affect our customers. It might be a cabin remodeling. It might be some sort of a structure here. This on the right side is a crew that's pouring a pad for a camping cabin that's going to get placed on that. So a lot of that stuff going on, and at the same time we have contractors working in our parks. We do a variety of projects. This is just a small sampling of the type of work we do in our parks. You can see everything from cabin repairs, which are typically done by our own staff, comfort station renovations, which can be a combination of those things. We have dredging that goes on in some of our parks, just all kinds of things. Plantings due to fire restoration, such as at North Point, we have a large project going on there right now. So just a variety of things. Planting trees is an emphasis in the spring. That's a task we love to do. It's really challenging because it's hard to find the time. We typically get those trees late April. This chart here gives you an idea of the kind of plantings we do. The first column there is all the parks, and it's our specimen trees. These are the larger trees that usually come bald and burlapped. We plant over 2,300 of those. Then the next column of trees is the conservation grade trees. These are the little sticks you get from from our supplier there, and those usually go in tree belts and then can be spaded out later on. We don't usually plant those raw right into the parks. And then the last column is similar to that. It's usually conservation grade trees that actually are going into existing tree belts. And this year, I believe the number is just a little over 3,100, almost 3,200 trees. So as a park staff, we'll be planting over 6,300 trees this spring in our parks. That's something that's one of our major initiatives. We are starting to finally see with our history of our parks, a lot of our first growth generation trees that were planted are starting to age and die, and it's time to start replanting future trees. This is next week will be the start of most of our park staff, summer staff. We have over 400 summer seasonal staff, we call them, that typically work three and a half months through the season. And then as of Tuesday, I was informed that we now have 428 volunteers in our park system. So our volunteers maybe outnumber our seasonal staff. That's got to be a first, which is great. So we have parks that use extensive numbers of volunteers, like Custer State Park here, Good Earth, those. And then we have other parks that use a handful to kind of manage their little smaller campground areas. Volunteers are definitely part of our operation and a key factor in just maintaining our system. In case you didn't know it, we have over 4,300 campsites in our park systems. So large inventory of campers, and we have a lot of people that are hopefully chomping at the bit to come to those sites. We also have 364 camping cabins throughout our park system. Staff is getting those ready. Miles of shoreline on our beaches. We groom those beaches. We add sand. We move it around. Mother Nature likes to do that for us, and then we got to go back and recreate what we want. So we're always fighting with Mother Nature on that. And we also have 132 trails, approximately representing 416 total miles, everything from bike trails to hiking trails to nature trails, just all kinds of aspects there. So anyway, that's kind of what the staff is up against. I would say April and May are probably the most intense months for our park staff to get things ready for the customers. Then once June, July, and August get here, it's just a matter of kind of managing the people, responding to the issues, squeezing in a few projects here and there, but it's and fixing the things that they unintentionally break. So wanted to give you a little taste of the events we got going on this summer. Believe I gave you a handout. I wasn't sure if you'd be able to see this from the screen here, but just I'll go through a couple of these. We events are very important to not only our users, but the staff really enjoy bringing them out. They really keep us connected to our communities. Most of these events are done in partnership with communities. It helps tourism throughout the state. By the way, National Travel and Tourism Week is next week, so major emphasis on that. But as you heard with Allie, she's got a large Smithsonian exhibit, which is kind of a rarity, a one-of-a-kind thing that'll be up at Fort Siston for the next month and a half. The concert series at Good Earth starts. All these events are listed on page 66 in your handbook, too, if you want to look at that. Got open house and free fishing weekend, the 19th and through the 21st of May. That's always kind of the unofficial kickoff to our park season. Hosting a lot of kids' fishing tournaments. We're trying to put a lot more emphasis on fishing and cross-selling fishing in our parks this year. And then we have National Trails Day coming up June 3rd. Good Earth is hosting their second annual event, the Indigenous Artists on the Prairie event. This is the second time we hosted this. Last year was the first. Went over very well. And then we have Loose Pioneer Days at Lake Herman. So just a nice variety. We'll share with you the at June the events for the rest of the summer. So now if I could, I'd like to move into kind of the business side of the operations here. I handed this chart out to you yesterday. We're actually, in spite of the weather, we've had a tough spring, tougher than normal spring. We've actually, we're kind of on pace with where we should be on an average year. The gray lines there indicate what would be considered a monthly high. The orange line is a monthly low, and we're just a little bit below the monthly average right now. But given the weather we've had to contend with, we're feeling pretty good about that. So you know, I think one thing we've typically seen with our springs like we've experienced this year, where we just have a challenging weather system, is it kind of creates a pent-up demand, and then once the sun comes out, the parks explode with people. So we're hoping and praying for that, I guess. The good news here is January through April really only represent about 1.9% of our typical use for the year. So it's, even though we may be just a little bit behind, it's a pretty small percentage of the overall use. And that gives you a feel for how the season kind of goes. I handed out a visitation chart this morning with the readjustment of the commission to the first weekend here. We were kind of scrambling to put these numbers together. We like to grab these at the end of the month, and just got this off the press, as they say, yesterday. But actually, with the weather turnaround we had in April, we're a little bit ahead of, as you can see on that chart there, of the monthly average. So we're feeling good about that. And that gives you an indication, too, of how the visitation usually pans out during the summer season. So now if you turn to page 67 in the your booklets there, you'll see the April year-to-date camping. My district, just point out a couple things there. Last month in March, we were behind 35%. As you can see, we've made some ground up. Now we're down only 16% on the bottom total there. So we're hoping to actually, maybe by next month, cut that even down further and hopefully get into the positive, the black, as they say. So so far we've had 764 nights reserved. Our goal this year is to break 400,000 nights reserved, so we're getting close to the halfway point. Making reservations, we're if you wanted to make a reservation today, you'd be looking at that first weekend in August, so we're halfway through the season too. So then if you turn over to the next page, page 68, look at the revenue that we've had for through April. Start with the month of April. We had some great gains in April here. All the numbers for the most part are positive when you look at the total number of permits. Last month, again, we were down 31%. This month, we were up 12%, so we're making some good strides. One of the things I would point out is under the right above the word lodging there, we had $190,000 of revenue put into our system. And that represents the Spring Creek boat slips. We kind of staggered or delayed the agreements that go out for those permits, and that revenue wasn't captured until this month, where normally it's a March thing. So that certainly gave us some positive numbers there. Still a little bit behind on camping, but again, we're hoping with the weather turning around, things will turn around for us there too. Just as a reminder, last month at the total for the month of March, we were down actually 14%. Now we're up actually 5%, so we're making some ground up. Then if you go down to the year-to-date revenue there, kind of the same story. We're still behind 2% on permits, but last month we were down 10%. So we're making up some ground. We hope to get in the positive there. On lodging, again, last month we were down 11%. This month we're down 6%. Overall, we're still down 5%, but hoping to turn that around. April's visitation, the numbers I handed out to you, we're actually up 7%. So again, we're feeling good about things. I think we're going to turn things around, hopefully. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any questions?
Comment.
Commissioner Beese.
Chairman. Yep. Commissioner Beese here. Jeff, you currently took over a new position here with our state and overseeing all our state parks. And so I would think when you took that over, you had a vision where you want to go with our state parks. I mean, we our state parks are second to none in this country. So where is your vision, where you want to go, what improvements, and how can this board help you accomplish that?
Great question. Put me on the spot, but I have, Madam Chair, can I, Commissioner Beese? Yes. At the end of March, we had our annual park managers conference where we bring all the managers to town, and I kind of presented my vision, if you would, of what we want to accomplish this next year, what we want to focus on. I'll try to remember those things. One is we want to collect some survey information. We want to find out who our users are, what they want, who our users aren't, and how we might attract them into our park system. What aren't we offering? So that's one thing we need to do a better job of, is collecting that kind of information. Two, we want to not only have a park system that sustains our infrastructure, the level of facilities we offer, but we want to experience some growth in that too. We want to build in some growth into our system, things like modern cabins, things like campsites here and there. You know, we want to add some of those things in, and we're going to see that next year. We're going to actually bring on Palisades State Park. We'll have 72 brand new campsites there, and that'll be wonderful for the public. There is a huge demand for campsites right now. So trees. We talked about trees. A concern that as our forests and our trees and our parks age, we need to be replacing those things. When I started 37 years ago, we didn't own things like tree lifts and booms and things like that. Now we own those because our trees are significantly taller. We're trimming those up. We're removing trees because they're just aging out. So we need to be responsibly planting more trees to replace those trees. We don't want to leave this park system to the next generation and say, oh, here you go, but we don't have any trees for you, you know. So those kinds of things. I kind of struggling remembering all those, but we have seven different initiatives that we're going to work on. But yeah, we're and your question of how can you help us, how can you? So we do have a committee now of three of you, and we met last week, and we're figuring out how to bring you into our system. We'd love your help with that. As we move forward, we will be in touch there. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Bartling.
Commissioner Bartling, thank you, Jeff. You know, we know winter was really tough on a lot of things, the wildlife, we've talked about that. How are the access roads into the parks? Are we seeing some issues yet, you know, that have to be taken care of? And I'm thinking up in the Northeast, you know, that just recently had that huge amount of snow. Are the access roads into the parks pretty good, or is there some work yet to be done?
I'm not aware of anything that's, in dire straits at this point, Commissioner. I think, you know, there's a few, as you learned last month, we spent a lot of money on our roads. We've fortunate to partner with our Department of Transportation and have some funding to take care of some of those roads. We're constantly spending money on roads, but for the most part, we're in pretty good shape. We try to keep a handle on that. Roads and access are extremely important to our system. I can't think of anything that's in major trouble right now. So,
any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner White.
Jeff, I know one of the things that usually comes to a question for the camping world in South Dakota, and I agree with Commissioner Beast that we're far and above most other states as far as our camping opportunities, but I think that fees usually come up as a basis on where they're going to stay overnight or whatever. Could you give us not necessarily the dollar figures, but an idea where our camping fees are with the contiguous states around South Dakota?
Madam Chair, certainly Commissioner White. You know, I think as managers of the park system, we're always kind of looking at what other states around us are doing, kind of comparing us. And I think in general, I would say our entrance fees are probably in the middle of the pack when it comes to that group. We're feeling pretty good about those. Our daily fees, kind of similar. Our camping fees are probably in some of the lowest in the surrounding state areas here. Our electrical fee, as an example, is certainly lower than almost any other state in the area. So, you know, I think one of our goals is always to be affordable. We want our camping, we want our parks to be affordable to everybody. We feel we are that way. I think we offer a good value. Having been in a lot of those other states, I think we have some of the best facilities around. Just the amenities we offer our customers, and you catch a fish, you've got a modern fish clean station to clean your fish at. You know, need to take a shower, you've got a good building to do that in, a secure building. So, yeah, I think overall we're affordable comparatively to the other states, and feel good about that.
Thank you. We've done an extensive amount of travel in our careers and in life, and we couldn't agree with you more. So thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Jeff, I wanted to go back to the volunteers, and I know we've talked about this before, but two questions. How much recruitment do we do? Are we trying to recruit volunteers, or are they just coming back year after year?
So, Madam Chair, great question. We actually have a staff person who is our volunteer coordinator. We are constantly recruiting. You gave me a little minute to remember one more of my goals, and that is marketing. Volunteers are part of that marketing initiative, along with a lot of other things. But yes, you know, and it's when you get a good volunteer group in, it's really important to work with those folks, to make them feel part of your operation, to just give them meaningful work. And volunteers tend to attract more volunteers. That's just the way it works. When you get good volunteers, they have good friends who can volunteer. And so we really use them to help us recruit too. But we do, we actually take out ads in magazines, AARP or some of those kinds of types of magazines. Work Camper, it's a magazine that's out there for volunteers. And folks that want to stay in campgrounds want a little pay, but then in return work for the cost of their site. So, yes, we certainly do that. It's been an interesting time with volunteers. We've seen some ups and downs. This is a good year for whatever reason. We're happy about that. The last I saw, I think we only had five volunteer positions left right now to fill. So Wow. That's wonderful.
So then my follow-up is kind of the demographic of what those volunteers look like. Are they coming from other states? Are they mainly South Dakotans, retired folks, college kids? What are we seeing?
Madam Chair, it's a combination. I can't actually give you a percentage on the breakdown of resident or non-residents, but it's certainly, I would, if I had to speculate, it's probably about 50% there. There are folks right now that just travel. They come up here in the winter or in the summer. They don't come up here in the winter. They come up here in the summer and work for us or volunteer for us. And then they go down in the southern states in the winter and do the same, and they don't even have a home anymore. There's a number of those kind of people. But then we also have local folks that just, I'll take Good Earth for an example, where we don't offer camping. All those volunteers primarily come out of the Sioux Falls area there. They have over 60 volunteers that help them man that park. They man that front desk. They help with tours. They help with answering questions in the visitor center that our staff doesn't have to and can spend their time leading activities and programs and events. So.
Very good. Any other questions? Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.